This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello, and welcome to David's Book Talk. And boy, do we have a special guest today. He's going to talk about his new CD. It is Donnie Most. Yes, the guy from Happy Days, Ralph Mouth himself, is here to talk about his CD. Hello.
Hello, David.
How are you?
How's it going? I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to hear your voice. I mean, your voice just brings back so many memories. It really does. I mean, Happy Days is part of my childhood. It was part of so many people's childhood.
Yeah, it's funny. I get that response about people when they hearing my voice, and it just has this sort of visceral effect on people, which is kind of neat.
You're the first person I've interviewed that didn't have a book to promote, which is really cool. But you do a CD, though.
Yeah, so it's kind of in a similar vein, I guess.
That is cool. I mean, I love to interview people. I think it's just fun to hear their reactions to questions. I feel like I'm a Barbara Walters in male version or something. But I would never approach her the way she did it, because she was such a professional about it. But, you know, I always feel like, you know, I can do it a little bit, you know. Maybe I can do it.
Of course.
You just never know. See, I don't ever know how the person I'm interviewing is going to react to things. So it's always it's always a challenge, you know. They could get mad, hang up on me. You never know.
Yeah, there's that the unpredictability factor, which makes it kind of exciting, right?
It is. It's exciting and it's nerve wracking at the same time. I mean, before you call, you're like, "Oh my God, I hope everything's all right," you know, and you just never know.
Yeah, you don't know what you're getting yourself into.
It's like doing live. It must be like doing live TV. Although I'm sure doing live TV is a lot more nerve wracking than that.
Yeah, I guess it definitely was early on for me, but I think over the course of time, having done it a lot, that's gotten less so. But there's always, I mean, you're still on, you know, sort of the high wire, so there's always that.
Now, listening to the CD, I was listening to it on the drive to do some shopping, and God, I really love these songs.
Oh, well, thanks. This was the Christmas EP that you're referring to, correct?
Yeah, I want more. You really sing beautifully. When you first hear it, you think, oh, I've never listened to Donnie Most before. I wonder how he's going to sound. You know, in the back of your mind, you're like, maybe, what if he sounds bad and I have to interview him? But it really sounds beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, there is more coming. The Christmas EP was actually, we recorded it after, I set out to do a full CD, which we've done. It's called D-Most, Mostly Swinging, which is all these great standards, you know, and, in with the swing kind of, approach, although there's a couple of beautiful ballads as well. And, that's coming out in February. But after we recorded it, the record label Summit that picked it up, they loved it so much, and then my producer said, maybe we should do some Christmas songs, because we can get that out in time, and then that'll. So we did like four songs, and then there's a bonus song on there, which is it's a song from the upcoming CD, so to kind of preview it. So there is more coming. And the thing about the whole singing thing for me is that I was actually doing it prior to getting into acting. I was 14, 15 years old, and I wound up being part of a nightclub review that was singing in a resort area called the Catskill Mountains, which was upstate New York. And I spent a whole summer with this group singing in all the hotels up there, at the nightclubs. So this was a very natural thing for me. I always knew I'd want to come back to the music at some point in a big way. And So it's not like, hey, you know, I decided I'm going to, you know, do a couple Christmas songs and do, you know, for fun as a novelty. I mean, this was my passion and my first love, so to speak.
Very cool. That's very exciting. I'm really happy for you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm having a blast doing it. I've been doing live shows for about the last 2.5 years, actually. I put together a show, and as a matter of fact, I was just in New York at Feinstein's 54 Below, which is a great venue. It's my fourth time performing there, and I have a big show coming up here at a great jazz club in Hollywood called Catalina's Bar and Grill.
Wow.
On December 21st. I have a big 17-piece band and some guest artists. I'm going to do some of the songs from the Christmas EP, and then a lot of the stuff from the upcoming full CD, mostly swinging, you know. So, and I've been doing it in different parts of the country, and it's been picking up, you know. And
you must get a lot of crowds. I mean, just from people being excited about seeing you from Happy Days. I'm sure that's a huge pull, too.
You know, I don't know. There is that to some degree, but I think there are people that come that, you know, were fans of the show and they're curious to see and don't know about this side of, you know, this side of my career. But it's sort of a double-edged sword. I think there are people, this is something I'm trying to get past,
right,
is that there are a lot of people that, you know, going, well, Donnie Most singing, you know, and they don't know, because on Happy Days I didn't really do it, and so they don't know what to expect. But once they come to a show, when people are there, they're, you know, I get the reaction I usually get is kind of like, oh my God, you know, we're blown away. We had no
idea. Where have you been, you know?
Yeah.
Where has this voice been, you know? It's beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah,
and it's got to be a joy to do it, because I'm sure you love doing it, and you know, just being able to. I mean, there's something beautiful about singing. You just bring your something of yourself to give to other people, which they enjoy. I mean, God, that's but it got to be a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, I'm feeling so fortunate, and I'm so, I don't know. It's weird that at this point, you know, I didn't know how things were going to go. I decided I had to, I said to myself, if I'm ever going to do this, you know, because I always had that dream to do the music again in a big way. And I said, this is the time. And I think because this type of music is there's a much more of a receptivity. There's been a resurgence of the Great American Songbook and all the standards. And this is what I loved. And I loved it since I was a kid, and it was hard for me with Happy Days, I was thinking about doing it then, but the music at that time in the 70s, it was looked upon, these kinds of songs were looked upon as your parents and grandparents' music,
right,
because it just wasn't, it wasn't really happening then at all, and so it was tough. But now it's so different, and
you weren't unhappy on Happy Days, though. I mean, you weren't. It wasn't like you were acting and miserable that you really wanted to sing, was it? I mean,
oh no, not at all. I mean, at that point, you know, after that summer when I sang in the Catskills, for various reasons, I decided to enroll in a pretty more serious acting workshop. And I knew the music was, you know, I could combine it and go back to it, but I was pursuing acting, and then things started going well and picking up, and I really got passionate about that, so I loved it, and by no means was I frustrated or unhappy in any way. It was what I wanted to do in a big way, and I had an incredible time doing it.
Well, having
that, and then many other acting, opportunities and jobs after happy days as well.
Yeah, I didn't realize you were an emergency and police story. And well, you I mean, it's amazing. You never think about before because we all see you as Ralph Mouth. I mean, that's the first thing you think of. And we forget that you had a career before that too. It's amazing how one role can almost define your life. But you have 57 credits, so you've done a lot more, which is just remarkable.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of perseverance because, as you noted before, Happy Days, you listed a couple of my credits, which were very dramatic parts. Police story, I played sort of a psychopath, a mad bomber.
Oh, really? Cool.
and on Emergency, it was a guy that got in an accident and became paralyzed. So those were the parts I got before Happy Days. They were dramatic. And then once the show became known, it became hard for me to even audition for dramatic roles because of the...
Oh, yeah. I would think so.
So it definitely posed a challenge for me to continue working in the kinds of roles that I really wanted to do after Happy Days. And it was a real roller coaster, and just had to keep pushing and fighting and sort of nicking away at the brick wall that I felt like I had hit. And luckily I was able, to get some parts, and then that led to more parts and a variety of different roles. And that's what I love. I love diversity. And since I like comedy, but I love drama as well. And I want to continue to do that. Not by any means put the acting aside. I want to try to combine, the music that I'm doing now. With the continuing roles in my acting career, and hopefully some more directing, because I've directed 3 independent films.
Have you really? And, good for you.
Yeah, and that was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And so I have some projects I'm trying to get going now. And it's certainly been an interesting journey, that's for sure.
Do you think singing, though, is really what you were meant to do? I mean, ultimately, do you think that would make you the happiest, to sing right now?
That's a great question. I mean, I am incredibly happy, and I mean, to the point where when I'm on stage or in the recording studio doing this, I am like on the ceiling. It's a high. It's an incredible high. I get that, I get that in acting when you're given the opportunity to do the right part in the right material,
right,
script, and with the right people. The thing about the singing is that I'm picking the material, and I'm picking the music, and I'm the musicians and the arrangements. So I'm setting the stage for it to be. So I can get incredibly passionate because it's what I want. But in acting, you're more at the mercy of so many other variables. There's a very, very select few actors that get to totally, totally pick and choose and only take the roles that are the best roles and the greatest projects. So, sure, I'd love to be in that position. Maybe there's still time, but some of the roles that I've done over the years are ones that I thought that for various reasons you take them and they're okay and you try to make the most of them, but they're not ones that you get passionate about. But I have had those instances, obviously. I mean, on Happy Days, there's been so many of those episodes, and then there've been other projects I've done where I was really able to, I felt great about the people I was working with and the material, and then I would get that same kind of high that I get on stage singing. But it's a tough question because there is something about the singing that because it's just you and it's everything that's inside of you coming out, and it's a culmination of so many things, and with an audience that sort of, almost communal experience or whatever, that does put it in a little different category.
And I should mention that the name of the CD is Swinging Down the Chimney Tonight. It's by Summit Records. Now, can this be gotten in all the record stores?
Yeah, it comes out today. It's been available online to download on iTunes and Amazon, but the actual CD has been released today. And there's not as many of those record stores outlets like there used to be, so I don't know which ones it's in, but it is available in some of them. And of course, people can order it on Amazon or from iTunes and probably other online outlets as well. So they could either get the CD itself or the MP3 downloads.
Yeah, that's true. There really aren't that many record stores anymore. It's really sad. I mean, even, there's some in the Barnes & Noble. They have music departments. But, I remember when there was a Sam Goody and there was all these other record stores. And they're just, you're right, everything's online almost like now. But, I mean, it's so beautiful that people can hear that through Apple and iTunes for you.
It is changing in that regard. I mean, it's very easy to do things where you just go on your computer and get what you want. You know?
So tell me, on the Happy Day set, would they find you singing off somewhere? Would you actually do a lot of singing there behind the scenes?
Well, I wasn't. Every once in a while, back then, I'd have an opportunity on a variety on a talk show to go on and do something, or telephone but it wasn't that much. I mean, it wasn't like I was doing clubs back then because like I was saying, it was tough to do this kind of music unless you had already been really established in that genre. The Tony Bennett's and people like that were could continue doing it. And then, of course, Tony sort of ushered in a resurgence of this music.
Good for Tony. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he sure is. And now, a lot of wonderful artists, Diana Krall and Bublé and Harry Connick was a big part of that resurgence too. And Natalie Cole. So I owe a lot, I feel a lot of gratitude to those people for bringing this back and new generations being introduced to it. And that's what I'm hoping to do as well. I love when young people are in the audiences of my shows and they get excited over this music because they haven't been exposed to it really. And they feel like they're discovering some great new thing. And that's a big kick for me, as well as bringing it back to the people who love this music, that are my generation or close to it.
So I'm curious, what do your fellow castmates from Happy Days think of your singing? Have they been to any of your shows, and what have been their reactions to it?
Oh, it's been great. Ron Howard came to one of my shows. Actually, the same show, Mary and Ross came.
Oh, that's cool.
They loved it. I mean, they were kind of, over the top, exuberant about it. And Anson Williams, who played Potsy, we're still great friends. He came to one of my shows and just went crazy. And he said to me, I knew you were good, but I had no idea you were like this, because he'd never, none of them had seen me do it in this kind of way. And he's been one of my biggest supporters and fans. So that's been great. And Scott Baio came to one of my shows. And Henry's been trying. Henry has been traveling a lot. And I'm hoping he's going to make it to...
Working on MacGyver. I see he's on the new MacGyver.
Yeah, the new MacGyver.
I love the new MacGyver. I mean, that's one of my favorite shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I haven't caught it yet. I'll have to check
it
out.
It's the humor and the things that he does. I even though it's a remake, you think, it's a remake. How good is it going to be? But it really is that good. I really am enjoying it.
How cool. I'm going to definitely have to check it out soon.
Yeah, Henry's one busy guy. He's writing lots of books, and, you know, he's a good guy. You just get a sense that he's got so much passion about things. I mean, has he always been that way?
Yes, he's always been a very passionate, serious, intense, very intelligent, and caring guy, and a wonderful guy. And yes, he besides his series of books, of children's books, Hank Zipper, he's doing an HBO show that's going to be starting in 2017 with Bill Hader. I don't know the name because it was initially just a pilot, and the pilot it did sell, and he starts shooting it fairly soon.
Oh, very
cool. I know he's excited about that.
Yes, he's busier now than he's ever been.
Things have got. He had that other reality show.
The one with William Shatner. Yeah.
That
was crazy. That one.
Very, very, a lot of fun. That was very funny.
I can imagine it was a blast for him.
That had to have been a blast.
I'm laughing at him, thinking of him describing the show. But I mean, you're busy too. I mean, you've got a lot of stuff going on too in your life.
Yeah, things are picking up, and I love it.
How long does it take to do an album? I mean, how long from beginning to end? How long of a process is it?
You know, I'm sure that varies from artist to artist and project to project, and it could probably be a wide variance in that vein. But in my case, it started with the producer and I sitting down and going through all different potential songs, and narrowing it down. Then he started writing the arrangements, and then once that was done, he started recording with the musicians first. We didn't do it all live. So he laid down all the tracks, and then I had him for a while to get familiar with it, and then recording. I would say from that beginning, that moment where we first met about the song selection to it, then after the vocals, of course, there's the period where there's sort of going through taking out the best takes and then mixing it and mastering it. So I would say it was probably 5 months or something like that.
It's a long process. And we think, and it sounds like, I mean, when you listen to the five songs on the road, and you think, well, that was fast, but you don't realize what goes into producing these songs.
The 4 or 5 months I was talking about was for the full CD. For the for the Christmas EP, which was only 4 songs, that was shorter. We probably got that done in about 3 months, 2 to 3.
But still, there's a lot of work that goes into it, a lot of practicing and making sure you got it down good. But you seem you seem really, really easy with it. I mean, it seems like it comes pretty easy for you. What was it like when you first started? Were you nervous?
Yeah, definitely. I remember when I first got into the studio to put down my vocals for the very first time on the Mostly Swing CD. It was the first time I was singing for this producer, and the nerves were a factor, and getting to feel comfortable with each other and feeling the sense of trust and all that. So I'd say once after we recorded the first session where we worked on, say, 3 songs. I think probably by about the third, fourth session, I started to let go and relax more and feel good. And as a result, I think we even went back and did vocals again on that first session, because everything else was now going so much better once that happened that, I think I found it redoing the vocals from that first session because I was a little nervous and wasn't quite as up to the same level as the latter ones.
Who is this? Now, you do a duet with Becky Martin.
Yes.
She's got a beautiful voice. Where did you come across her? I mean, how did you hook up with her?
That was my producer, Willie Murillo's suggestion to do the duet with her. And it was a great, great idea. There's two duets that we do.
Right.
From the album Mostly Swinging, we did a duet. My wife, Morgan, had suggested one of the songs for that album, to do Stacey Bone, which, Eartha Kitt originally did, and then Dean Martin, that was a version I was familiar with.
Wow. Yeah.
And at first I was like, I don't know if Stacey Bone is there. You know, the rest of the songs are real kind of big, dynamic, swinging kind of stuff. And Stacey Bone was a much lighter, sort of lighter jazz kind of song. And I wasn't sure. But she said, no, you know, you really should do that song. And she had heard me fool around with it. And she said, you sound great in that. And so I played it for Willie. And he said, no, I like this. I think this is a great song for you to do. And he goes, and then he had the idea to do it as a duet. So, and the more he talked about it, I thought, hey, yeah, that sounds good. And then, you know, he played me some of Becky's stuff and I said, wow, yeah, she's great. So we did that as a duet and it came out so well that, a bunch of people, you know, my manager and Summit Records said, yeah, that could be the single. Or a single, so it was a great idea. And then when we did the Christmas EP, then Willie had this idea to do one of the songs, Santa Baby, as a duet with Becky again. And he had this real interesting musical approach to doing it. So I thought, yeah, let's do that. And so that was a kind of a unique thing, and you never heard that as a duet. And it's a really cool musical approach to the song. And, Becky sounds, I've worked with her now live on some of my shows and she's just fabulous.
Now, can you listen to a song and tell right away whether it's a good song for you to do? I mean, can you, if you listen, I mean, how do you determine whether, what songs are good for you? I mean, do you have a good ear for that?
I think so. And it's a combination of, initially just, really liking a song, you know, I mean, if you just, you know, on just some sort of instinctual, visceral level, you just love a song, that's the first criteria. And then usually, what the cool thing now, which wasn't available years ago, now, you know, with the technology, I get on my computer and I open up a program like GarageBand and I can put the tracks in there, you know, a song. And in some cases, I have software that could even, if it was recorded a certain way, I could take the vocal out and then sing along just to the tracks and then,
very,
you know,
cool.
play with it and then see which ones, are working, you know, that I like the way it's coming out. And I could even change the key with some of the software, you know, and say, you know, well, I can't, like, I'll take a song that was, a track, an arrangement I like from a female vocalist. I can't sing in that key, but then you change the key and I play with it and rehearse it or whatever you want to call it. And so those are that's usually the process for me.
Right. Will we be hearing you on any talk shows singing, do you think?
I'm really hope so. I am doing one actually. There's a show called Home and Family on the Hallmark Channel.
Oh.
And I'm going to be appearing on that on, it's going to air the day after Christmas.
Oh, well, that's
so
neat.
I'm going to be doing, a medley of these songs from the Christmas EP.
Oh, very
and
cool.
And then, and I'm hoping, probably it's too late for me to get on some of the bigger, network shows for Christmas, but maybe I'm hoping for the release in February of the full CD, Mostly Swinging, that I'll get on, you know, some of the talk shows and national shows. That's what I would love that.
Yeah, I want to see that Home and Family. I'm going to have to figure out what time it's on. I don't think I've ever seen it. I don't watch the Hallmark Channel all that much, but I have seen some of the stuff on there. It's a very home and family kind of environment station. I mean, there's a lot of family entertainment on that.
Oh yeah.
You actually appeared on Murder, She Wrote, which I think is shown on that channel now, too. You actually did one or two Murder, She Wrote, didn't you?
Yeah, I did at least two. I think I did two. Yeah, I was going to say two or three, but probably it was two different Murder, She Wrote. Yeah, that is being shown on Hallmark.
Right.
Yeah, that was a great...
What was it like working with Angela Lansbury? That must have been a thrill.
Wonderful. So that's what I was just... getting to, it was a thrill for me to meet her and work with her. There was one show in one of the episodes that I did in particular where I had a scene with her, and she was lovely. She was so lovely and supportive and generous as an actor. And and then afterwards, I had seen her in movies and TV before, but. I think I've seen more of her since I worked with her on some of the older movies, and it's like, wow, I go, wow, look at all what she's done. Oh my God, she did some amazing things that I wasn't even aware of at the time that I worked with her.
And she's on Broadway now, she's in her 90s. It's just amazing.
Oh my God, that is amazing.
I mean, you just can't even fathom that. I mean, how do you remember lines at 90? You know, that's got to be difficult.
Yeah, that is. Boy, sure. Do I pray and hope that I could be doing that when I'm 90?
Now, I was watching one of the talk shows late, and Ron Howard was on. He had a picture of a softball team. Were you on a Happy Days softball team?
Oh yeah, oh big time. Yeah, Ron and I were big baseball fans, and we joined entertainment softball league initially, and then. Gary Marshall, who was our creator and exec producer.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about his passing.
Yeah, it was very sad.
What an interesting man he was.
Very interesting, wonderful talent, and a great guy. And he was a huge baseball fan, too. So when he saw that he had a bunch of guys who were players, and he loved it, he decided we'd form a Happy Days team, and we actually traveled around the country playing in a lot of the major league parks before the regular games and in sort of charity games, and so we had an incredible thrill going around and playing and in all these stadiums and meeting the players, and I'd get to go out and shag flies with alongside the major league guys during batting practice, and then we'd have our game and. I have some great video from some of, cause Henry, and other people took video, back then. So I have some great memories of that.
So who was the best hitter, do you think?
Well, I was up there. I hit home runs in a bunch of the different games.
Oh, very cool.
Not over the fence, cause this was softball.
Yeah, exactly.
But, more inside the park homers. So Ron was really good. I was among the cast. I was definitely up there. We also had a couple of guys that worked on our show that were regulars in Arnold's and stuff, people that, and so there's one guy, a guy named Terry Schumann, who was a big long ball hitter, and a few other guys like that, I'd say Ron and I were, of the regular cast, were probably the number one and two hitters.
I think you should sing the national anthem in one of the stadiums. That's what I think. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I actually did it at Dodger Stadium one time, and that was...
You did?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I might have to do that again sometime.
That sounds like it would be fun. I think you'd enjoy that. I know you'd enjoy that. But
yeah, that song's always a little scary, but I might have to try it again.
What song would you really like to record right now? If you could pick any song that you could record, what would you pick?
Oh my God, that's a tough one. I'd have to look through my list and You know, here's the thing. I was a huge, besides being a, you know, a lover of Sinatra and Dino and Tony and Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah.
And Billie Holiday and Joe Williams, who is a great vocalist with the Count Basie Band, and Mel Torme, and all of those. The one guy that was my favorite, that I was just a, you know, obsessive fan and sang to all his records since I was a kid, was Bobby Darin.
And I
actually saw Bobby at the Copacabana when I was 18, and I'm talking about when Bobby was doing his all the great jazz standards and blues and big band swing. And
Mack the Knife, was it? Is that the one he did?
Yeah, and that's when, and I closed most of my shows with Mack the Knife. And, you know, and I've been doing it, and people could go on, I haven't recorded, but they can go to YouTube and look up Donnie Most Mack the Knife, and you'll see that was a live version that I did at one of my first shows. And I decided not to record that song on this album because it is so, you know, it was such a big, iconic song for Bobby, and I didn't want to do it on this first one, but I did another song, not as well known, of Bobby's, but in a very, it was almost like a follow up to Mack the Knife, and I love it. I do it in my shows a lot. A song called Clementine, and it's a very, you know, it's that same big band kind of starts off kind of cool and easy like Mack, and then it slowly modulates, you know, it goes up in key each verse, and it builds and builds to that, you know, big kind of finish. So I did Clementine, but I probably will want to do, you know, maybe the next album, maybe I'll do Mac.
Now, how many?
That's got to be up there.
Right. How many tracks are on the one that's coming out in February? Is that a full CD, 12 or 13?
It's 12 plus one bonus song to make 13. The bonus song, after this big, you know, full swing CD, the bonus song is just me and a piano and nothing else to,
Oh, so you play the piano too?
No, I don't play it. I'm just singing to a.
Oh, okay.
the guy who, Quinn Johnson, he played piano on it, and, it's a wonderful, it's that One for My Baby that Sinatra made famous. It's a great old saloon song. The bonus song.
It's so nice to hear the excitement in your voice as you talk about what you do. And, you know, and so few people get to do everything that they like to do. And it seems like you've had a lot of good experience with that. I mean, acting and singing, playing softball, going to baseball games. You know, you've done so many good things that have made you so happy. Have you had generally a happy life?
I would, you know, I met my wife on Happy Days, and we've been married 34 years. And
oh, wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And that, she's made, kept me sane and happy, and that's been one of the biggest pluses of, probably the biggest plus of the whole thing. But, I feel very incredibly blessed and fortunate for it.
Now, how old were you when you started on Happy Days?
I had just turned 20, a few months earlier, and I was on the show for 7 seasons, the first 7, and so I was from the time I was 20 to 27.
Well, 20, yeah, I think I read it was 167 episodes you were on. That's a lot of episodes for one show.
They wound up doing over 250, but I did something like, 100, and I thought it might have been 170-something, but it was somewhere close to that.
But you were probably recognized. It's walking down the street, I would think. It must have been a huge recognition thing for people would approach you.
Yeah, that happened, you know, once we became, you know, really big and became the number one show in the country for a while.
Yeah.
Yes, everywhere I went, it, and that was, you know, it was certainly fun and cool in the beginning, but that became, difficult and a challenge to, you know, to navigate through that phase of your life when it's not just you know, for a little while, and it's fun because you can't turn it off, and then it becomes 24/7, and you have to adjust to that, they don't teach you in acting class anything about that. Nobody teaches you about this, and it's like you're in a twilight zone, and finding a way to.
I think a lot of Americans must have thought, you know, you were like part of their family almost because they watched you every week. It was like you were a comfort zone for them to be able to watch you and enjoy your shows every week. I mean,
I get that a lot from people who say, you know, that we wish there were shows like that today because that was a show we could all sit down with the whole family and look forward to every week. And like you said, it was almost like we became part of people's, you know, we were in their living rooms every week and like they felt like they knew us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing experience for both, for you and for the audience.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, nowadays with the paparazzi everywhere, it's like if you had a show like that today, I mean, imagine what they'd be all over you today, you know.
So I feel lucky that, I mean, you know, it was as difficult as it was then. The paparazzi wasn't like it is today, so we didn't have that, and I can't imagine what that would be like now.
Exactly. So, are you going to be recording another album soon? I mean, is it in the works?
No, nothing in the works right now. You know, we're focusing on getting these out and hopefully, you know, getting a lot of airplay and people becoming aware of it. So, and then we'll start focusing on another one. And I can't wait because I love doing it. So
now, will we hear anything on the FM dial, do you think?
I don't know. You know, I hope so. You know, I have the record label Summit. They have a guy that they work with, that his, you know, radio promotion guy, that his job is to get the stations out there to play it. He works with a lot of Summit. Is their background is jazz and classical, so he works for a lot of the jazz stations. So I imagine it will be on, because a lot of the jazz stations are on FM. So I would think so.
How would that, I can only imagine how that would feel to hear yourself on the radio like that. You know, it's like, wow.
Yeah. I hope I get to experience that. I have to, I'm hoping they'll play it somewhere out here in LA, and then I'll be able to tune into their stations and hopefully you'd be pleasantly surprised when I hear it.
Now tell me about this movie. Is it Remembering Isabel? Is that the one you just dropped?
That was several years ago. The most recent one I did that I think would be more apropos to talk about is a psychological thriller independent film called Follow.
Oh.
And that came out in select theaters late September, early October, and I believe it's available online right now. It's called Follow.
Mm.
And again, it's a psychological thriller, so it was a very different role. And it's kind of, you know, people don't quite know if I'm a bad guy or if I'm a, they don't quite know, which I like. And a different character, which I'm, like I was alluding to earlier, that's what I love. So I'm hoping to do a lot more of that. And I was also recently on an episode of The Odd Couple.
That's cool.
It was a tribute show. They pay tribute to the great Gary Marshall. And so I was on it with Anson Williams. We were playing characters. Because Gary had played the father to the Oscar Madison character.
Oh, okay.
Played by Matthew Perry. So so when Gary passed away, they wrote an episode about Oscar's dad passing away, and he went to meet a lot of the people that were in his father's life. So they cast all these people that had
That's
worked
cool.
with Gary.
I'll have to try to get that on demand to see if I can watch the episode. It probably is on demand somewhere.
Probably.
I would hope. How exciting would that have been? Neat. You just never know you never know what's coming next. Except more singing. Obviously, you're going to be doing more singing. I mean, I can't imagine that you're not going to do more singing. Just it's so beautiful, this CD. It really is.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm excited about it, and I'm just hoping that it gets out there in a bigger and bigger way, so that it'll mean that I will keep doing this and in a bigger and bigger way. That's what I'm really looking forward to, and being able to continue doing this for many years.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Follow. I want to try to find that too. I'd love to see you in something different. I mean, you forget that actors, you know, they want to do different things. You know, they don't want to be stuck on one role for the rest of their lives. I mean, people that do like Superman, it seems like that's all they ever do. Poor George Reeves, all he did was Superman.
that was always the drawback of having, big successful TV show. Back then, you know, especially. Today, it's a little different, you know, I'd say in the last 10 years or something. If you're in a big show, today, it's easier to cross that bridge to film, and people in film back into, you know, there are people in film are doing TV, and people in TV are doing film. It's very different than it was back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, where, and probably 80s, I'd say.
To a great extent. I mean, you think of like Archie Bunker, and what an iconic performance he had. I mean, it was hard to do, but then again, he did In the Heat of the Night, so he was able to come back and do other things. So you have a big enough name, I guess you can do anything you want, really.
He had had, of course, Carol O'Connor played Archie. He had had a pretty full career before that, doing a lot of dramatic work. So
Outer Limits, even The Outer Limits. Hard to believe. All the way back then, you know. Well, Archie Bunker was his role, but you forget he had things in the past.
Yeah.
I even saw him on an episode of Time Tunnel, I think, which I didn't even know he was on. You know, it's like, wow, he is. I know that guy. That's Archie Bunker.
Yeah. Right.
And that's just so cool. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's been so great to talk to you. And the CD again is called Donnie Most Swinging Down the Chimney Tonight. It's available from Summit. And you said Apple and iTunes have it?
Yes. iTunes and Amazon. I hope that people out there check it out. There's some great songs. A Man with the Bag, which is a really fun, big swinging Christmas song. And then there's a few traditional ones, like It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, Santa Baby, the duet, and then one of my personal favorites, the Christmas song, made famous by the wonderful Nat King Cole.
Right. Oh, yeah, Nat King Cole. Wow. Really miss him today.
Oh, my God.
What a voice.
What a voice. What a soul.
And they had that biography of him on, and what he went through is just amazing. The oppression that he faced, you don't even think about it. You think, well, he's so talented, he probably didn't have any problems.
I know. It's a whole different world, and it is amazing to see what people had to go through like him. But we're lucky to have had him and that kind of talent, and he'll certainly live on.
Exactly. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for all this. It's been great to talk to you. I'm so happy for you. I really am.
Well, thank you for having me, and thanks for all your kind words.
I wish you all the best. I hope we see you for many, many years.
I hope so too. Thanks so much.
And this has been David's Book Talk. We'll talk to you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.